everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Look Forward. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my smug co-host, Brad.
That's right. Comfortably smug. No, I'm not that guy on Twitter. Wouldn't that be something if I was, though? If I was that crazy asshole.
Well, somebody apparently referred to you in the comments on one of the shows that, get Andy back, that other guy's too smug. I was like, Brad? What? Brad, salt of the earth, man.
I guess. You know what? I am salt of the earth, Jay. I'll say it as smugly as possible.
Ironically, I don't get the charge of being smug, yeah. Which is my whole,
it's your whole persona.
Online persona.
That's your whole thing.
That's my whole thing. I'm not a smug person in reality, but I play one on the radio. All right, what's up, you poors? We're back. So we're back. There's plenty to talk about. Andy and I are actually going to record an episode probably like Saturday. So we're going to have like this will come out Wednesday morning, and then we'll have something like dropping like probably Sunday or Monday, like right after it. So Andy will be back. He's just trying to work schedules, just if you're wondering where he is.
Yeah, this guy driving his little dump truck, not able to have a consistent schedule, that Andy, I'll tell you. Yeah. Unreliable.
Quite smug.
Yeah. Very smug, sitting in his truck.
Yeah, his Peterbilt.
Far like above, an elitist. Far above the rest of the desert out in Nevada.
Who does he think he is?
Sitting there among the goats and the coyotes and all sorts
and
of
all the other things that fuck up people's internet connections, right? For no reason.
One stoplight in his town, living high on the hog.
One
Walmart. There's a Walmart out there, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a fancy lad. Like, we probably shouldn't even say where he lives because it's so small, you could just find him.
That's true. Right? Like, all you do is step into town, like, there's Andy's house. Right over there.
Where's Andy live? That house. There's one Andy in town. Like, that's it. All right, so there's plenty to talk about this week. So we're going to jump right into it. We'll, of course, save the good stuff for the after party. All right, and look, if you aren't signed up for premium content, you're going to want to, especially when we talk about Texas governor making a – what can only be described as a stupid-ass decision today. Texas and Mississippi, incidentally. So, all right, let's jump right into it. Biden administration working to reunite kids with their families, which we talked briefly about last week, but now they're saying that they're giving – those families that were separated under the Trump administration, the option to reunite inside the United States and find a legal way to allow them to stay. The Biden administration says we owe them that because of the trauma that we put them through. Mm-hmm. For these people trying to get here, according to Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, basically saying, we are hoping to reunite families either here or in their country of origin. We hope to be in the position to give them, the election. And if in fact they seek to reunite here in the United States, we will explore lawful pathways for them to remain in the United States and to address their family needs. That's a classy move, in my opinion. That's a pretty classy move. What are your thoughts?
And they mention also in the article that without the special protections, without trying to help them stay, you're forcing parents to choose between staying separated or to reunite with their children in countries that have situations that they flee from. Again, remember that the Trump administration's line on this was to advertise that they were separating families when they crossed over, to disincentivize people from coming over. But you have to remember that in a lot of these countries like Guatemala and Honduras and areas like that, people would be like, willing to take the risk because if we stick around, we might get killed because that's how fucking dire the situation is that we're fleeing from. So that and that's really the biggest reason why the Trump administration's policy was so immoral is because, you know, like these are desperate people that you are further preying on, essentially, right, in a lot of ways. So the mea culpa is nice. it's not even fair to call with the Biden administration so a mea culpa. They're not the ones that fucking, you know, put that policy forward in the first place. But the fact that they are not shirking away from – it's not like they're not passing the buck. You know what I mean? They're not like, well, you know, these other guys did this, so we're in, and you know, they really fucked this up, so we're going to turn this around. They're just like, no, we as the United States fucked this up. And, you know, we need to make it right. So it's good on them. Again, as much as people are going to be complaining in the next several weeks here about, you know, the pedantry of $600 and, you know, not being able to get a minimum wage bill into, or minimum wage upgrade into a bill because it's not falling within the, you know, parameters of the rule of the Senate, that there's a lot of good reasons that electing Joe Biden president, that we turned out for that beyond how it affects your life. So,
yeah, it's we'll talk about that, but that's a curious thing of how concerned are you? Are you concerned about the overall good that the Biden administration can do, or are you concerned about how it touches your pocket specifically? And look, you know, your pockets are your pockets, right? I'm not mad at people for being concerned about their own, but there are some universally good things that are happening that you cannot, or let me rephrase that you should not ignore just because it doesn't affect you directly. So, yeah, to that point. Let's jump right into one of the bigger stories, which is the COVID relief bill, the sort of status and where things are right now. The House passed a version of the legislation, but they're likely going to have to vote on it again because the Senate is going to vote and like make some changes, right? So then they have to go back to the House. The House goes yay or nay, and then, you know, it goes to Biden's desk. Democrats are planning to get the COVID relief bill that's $1.9 trillion. They're planning on getting that to Biden's desk by the end of next week to sign. This is a massive undertaking, and Democrats did it all by themselves. Republicans are not voting for this. Not a single Republican in the House voted for this. I would be shocked
to know. There were two defections, too.
Yes, there were.
From the Democratic Party. So.
Yeah. I would be shocked to know if Republicans in the Senate, any of them, even Romney, I would be shocked to know that they get on board for this. I highly doubt it.
So it's interesting, right? So when you have bills like this that are extremely popular and are definitely like undoubtedly the right thing to do for the country,
yep,
you might have opposition, you might have fights, you know, you might obstruct as much as you can. Typically, it's to get stuff you want in the bill. Obviously, in this situation, that's not really the case. But usually, once it's clear and inevitable that the bill is going to make it through no matter what happens, you usually see a lot of folks, even if they opposed it previously, that usually jump on board because they don't want to be
right
on the wrong side of history. Because at the right end of the day, all that really matters is how you voted when the chips were on the table.
Right. Nobody gives a shit. Nobody's looking back. Oh, did you make an argument on CNN? They're like, oh, you voted for it? Cool.
Yeah.
Look, that's how we look at it. You go on like GovTracks or whatever and you read who voted for it. That's because at the end of the day, that is what matters. Like it,
right.
You can all all the wrangling doesn't mean anything.
So I got to say, I'm a little surprised that more people voted to impeach Donald Trump in the House than voted to pass this COVID-19 relief plan.
Are you
in terms of Republicans? I am. I am, because this bill is going to pass. Like, it's not like Joe Manchin's on board with this part of it, at least. Like, the dude doesn't want a $15 minimum wage, but you know, he does want relief to happen because his governor's fucking knocking on his door, be like, hey asshole, like we fucking need money.
Have you been here?
Died, right? Like, it's
ridiculous. I know you're living on your fancy tugboat, but we're suffering. Jesus Christ! Yeah, by the way. Like, Do people know why Joe Manchin isn't supporting the $15 minimum wage? Are you aware of why?
Why?
Do you have a reason why you think he's not?
Because with a $15 minimum wage, then even like an 18-year-old could buy all of West Virginia.
Well, that's also true. I kind of figured this out today. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense why he doesn't want to support it. You know what the median income in West Virginia is?
Oh, it's probably low as shit.
It's like $16.83.
Yeah.
So from his perspective, and I'm not saying it's the correct one. I don't think it's correct at all. I wish it was higher than 50.
Because if you raise minimum wage, it's going to raise everyone's wages. That's typically how it works. So.
Right. But boy, would it make a huge change if the median income is $16.
Yeah.
it's not higher than the minimum. Like, that's crazy. That's a crazy small difference between what we're shooting for and what they already have for the vast majority of people that live there. So, or not the vast majority, but the medium income. So that is, again, I don't agree with his final answer on that, but reading that, I'm like, oh, I get it. I mean, it would be like if you said, you know, let's say the median income in Maryland is, I don't know, $25. If you were like, we need to raise it to $24, I'd be like, well, that's like pretty close. And like it feels like you're almost going to end up doubling everything, right? Mm-hmm. Because people making $16 an hour are not going to then keep making $16 an hour. It can't work like that because the guy working at McDonald's is now making 15. And I'm like shoveling coal 8 hours a day. Like, yo, these two jobs are not the same. So you got to raise everything. So I get the apprehension of that. And I think people should acknowledge that, right? It doesn't mean you have to agree with him. Like, this is a thing with like being mature on politics is understanding people's perspective. That doesn't mean you have to agree with it.
Well,
that's a pretty wild thing.
Not to paint with a broad brush and make the coastal elite argument, but at the same time, it's kind of a coastal elite argument. I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right. But it is. But I mean, it kind of is because if you're in a state that doesn't have a lot of money, it does feel different. And again, the way minimum wage works, right? Because you hear $15,
right? If you're kind of 15 tomorrow, that's not
right, and that's not how it
scales
works.
Up over a period of time. But you asked me, am I really surprised that no Republicans support it? I am, and here's why. So it's one thing. So like the Democrat, no Democrats that I can recall supported the upper class tax hike or tax breaks that the Trump folks in the Senate and Congress passed back in 2017. Right. And that's because they knew that long term that legislation was not going to be popular. History has borne them out to be correct, especially because none of that money trickled down at all pretty much to anyone, you know, middle class or lower.
Aren't millionaires are not middle class?
No, unfortunately not.
Weird.
With this bill, I don't see any tangible way that this legislation, when it does pass and gets signed, is not going to be insanely popular long term. And I feel like it's an odd gamble to give someone, you know, a potential opponent in 2 years something to hit you with saying, hey, you didn't vote you didn't vote for the leaf package. That seems silly to me.
Yeah, it is silly. It is very silly. But I think the gamble that they're making is, yes, in 4 years.
Two years. You got to worry about 2 years before you worry about 4 years.
Well, no. I'll get there. But I think they don't give a shit what a Republican candidate has to fight off in 4 years because most Americans will forget about this. Mm-hmm. In 2 years, they're hoping if they keep things completely abysmal, then people will say nothing changed. Well, why don't we just put Republicans back in? That's all they're thinking. Look, right, spoiler alert. I think that's the reason why you're seeing Mississippi and Texas reopen. I honestly do. I think that's exactly why you're seeing them.
That's a fucking bold move, and we'll get there when we talk about that shit later.
But no, it's a super bold move. I'm not so sure that it won't work. Not so sure it won't. That's the crazy thing, right?
I don't know if it works as well when you're the incumbent party, though. That's the only thing. But like I said, we're getting ahead of ourselves as far as that goes. But again, like
this my is goal is to piss you off this week.
Fair enough.
Yes.
I mean, this is gonna pass though. Like, it's one thing if you can put up a roadblock and stop the legislation from getting passed, but one way or the other, they're gonna figure out. Like, I don't think Joe Manchin is gonna fucking stake his claim from Jump Street in this Congress to be like, yeah, I killed the relief bill.
Yeah, what? That's not. No. Yeah, yeah. You might actually be able to lose that Senate seat over that shit. Like, yo, come on.
Like, this isn't where he's going to fucking, this isn't the hill he's going to die on. Like, you're going to find a way to get Joe Manchin on board. If he's on board, Kyrsten Sinema is going to be on board and the bill's going to pass. Like, I guess Republicans want to frame it as like Democrats ram this bill down our throat is the only way. But again, if people are, you know, they're going to get those fucking stimmy checks, they're going to get, you know, schools hopefully reopening, vaccines are coming out. You know, Biden just talked today that, you know, we bought enough vaccines for 300 million Americans. We'll have it by the end of May. That's amazing fucking news. Like
Johnson and look, the Johnson and Johnson one, the single shot vaccine that shipped yesterday. We're rolling, baby. We're rolling.
Like this shit is going to happen. I don't know why you're not positioning yourself to be on the side of right at the end of the day. But again, do you? It's worked so well so far for you for you guys.
I don't know, man. I think their gamble is that people are just going to forget.
Yeah. Maybe they were too busy planning their CPAC appearances to worry about actually reading what's in the legislation in the House.
I mean, literally, that's what they were more busy doing. I'm sick today. I can't come in. Where are you?
That's not on the docket because fuck those assholes. But yeah, ridiculous.
Now, I will say this. A couple of Democrats did do the same move. Like, to be at some other event, they were like, ah, I'm sick. I'm going to need somebody to vote for me. I'm like, don't do that. Like, unless you really can't make it, don't do that. But, yeah, to pretend to be sick and then go on television is pretty bold. Like,
yeah,
you're a fucking psycho. Those votes shouldn't count, by the way. They shouldn't count. Like, you lied. It's cool. You lied. So, yeah, we're done. Like, no, you don't get to cast the vote at all. You abstained. Like, you're done. Yeah, look, the status of the COVID relief bill, I think is, this is a curious one, right? They apparently just in the last like couple of hours pulled two things out of it. One was for extension of the BART, in San Francisco, not in Pelosi's district, I would just like to point out. And another one was for like some bridge work or whatever. And they were just like, no, this doesn't have to do with COVID. We're going to pull it out. I'm not mad at that because there's a massive infrastructure bill that's coming soon after this. So it's fine. You can put it in there. What do you think about the minimum wage issue, right? Manchin is like, look, you got to get this thing the fuck out of there. I'll go with like $11 or $12 max. Folks are mad because Democrats are going to pull it out so they can get it passed. Bernie's trying to get it back in or force a vote on it. Hashtag force the vote. Silly. What are your thoughts? Do you just not do the minimum wage hike? Do you try to kick the can down the road? What do? You fight for
it? So you have to look at how you can get it in, right? You have to look at how you can get it in and is it worth it? So the easiest way to get it in at this point, with the parliamentarian being like, nah, it's not allowed to be in there.
Right. Sorry. That's another part of it. The parliamentarian came out and said, look, the minimum wage does not fit the standard for getting this through reconciliation, which is how they're trying to do it.
So, which, you don't by the way, this. Like if Alaskan oil drilling can get into a budget bill, like that's bullshit, but whatever, it is what it is. Okay.
Yeah,
so you have options. So you can fire the parliamentarian and bring in a new one that's going to be sympathetic to your aims. I guess that's fine. It's happened before. I don't know if that's necessarily the direction you want to go in right away because it makes it look, I don't know, a little underhanded, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, Republicans do shit like that. Like Democrats aren't going to do that.
You can overrule the parliamentarian, but that takes 60 votes. That doesn't just take 50 votes. That takes 60 votes. So you ain't getting 10 Republicans and Joe Manchin to fucking hop on board to overrule the parliamentarian on minimum wage. Okay. So then in that case, you can get Joe Manchin to fucking hop on board for minimum wage, which he's already said that he's not going to do. And then the final option is you can kill the filibuster, which, again, is also not going to be a thing that probably fucking happens at this point.
Well, Joe Manchin said, quote, never. What do you people not understand? I said, right.
And if you're going to find a piece of legislation that Joe Manchin will agree to nuke the filibuster on, it's not going to be the thing that he already doesn't support. It's one thing.
Right. You're going to need the West Virginia reunification of Virginia bill or whatever the fuck. Right. I don't know. So you're going to need something that's going to like wet his whistle, so to speak.
So you could be frustrated by it, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't be, and it's fair to be frustrated by it, but if you don't have an actual plan to get it implemented, you're going to have to realize that it's not going to happen right now.
Well, and the thing is, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, sorry.
What I was just going to quickly say is, do you care more about getting a $1.9 trillion relief bill in, or do you care about getting minimum wage in there to risk it?
Well, let me ask you a question, Jay. Is it worth sacrificing the great in the achievement of perfection? Because that's at the end of the day what you would be doing, essentially.
Yeah, there no, I agree with you. You don't sacrifice the good for the perfect.
There needs to be minimum wage increase. While you're fighting to make this happen on the federal level, continue doing more fighting to make it happen on the state level, where it can happen a lot faster than it can on the federal level. It just can. Right. Many states are already there because people fought for that shit, and states have been on board with it. There's multiple ways to get there, and if most states adopt the $15 minimum wage, you'll see it much more aptly adopted on the federal level as well.
Right, it'll be easy. We've got 43 states with a $15 minimum. Let's just get it done. And they'll be like, yeah, all right, doesn't matter. It's been adopted in Maryland, right? We're doing the incremental change, 1175, and then it increases up to 15 by the year 2025.
Well, and here's the thing. There's a world that exists where you could fight and you could expend an enormous amount of political capital to get this $15 minimum wage into this bill somehow, some way, shape, or form.
Yep.
But I can see the argument to do it. When people need relief now, and when unemployment is going to be, the extra money coming in on unemployment checks is slated to disappear within the next couple of weeks.
Right.
You can't have that protracted fight over a divisive issue that your party isn't even unified on.
Yeah.
It's one thing if Democrats want to do it, but
that's right.
That's not where you're at right now. So it's frustrating. I understand the people that say, well, if not now, when? I get that. You're not wrong. It's going to be very difficult to get a $15 minimum wage bill passed by itself. You could make it a rider on something else that would be very difficult to stop, but I think you underestimate the gumption of Republicans to knock down every piece of legislation that they possibly can during this Congress. And I'm sympathetic, but this is the legislative process for better or worse.
Yeah.
Welcome back to actual government, actually, again.
Yeah, it fucking sucks, bro. So. You don't get to win by fucking fiat. I'm just going to rip money out of the military to fund my pet projects. That's not how it works. That's the weird thing is people really want that, just do what I want to do kind of attitude, but that's not how it works. If you actually follow the rules and you actually do this shit legitimately and you actually have respect for, democratic norms or not even I'm saying democratic norms, but I don't even want to use that term because that's been perceived as quote unquote a negative at this point. And I understand why. Not even democratic norms, but just what the actual rules are, right? The actual rules, right? Not handshake rules, but the actual rules. If you follow them, yeah, it's incredibly irritating. It's incredibly irritating. You're just just give me the money. I just want to help you. And they're you got to go talk to Joe Manchin first. Oh, man, I hate that guy. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. But to me, you have to ask yourself, are you more interested in helping people? Are you interested in feeling like you're helping people, right? Because there is a difference. There is a difference in saying, we need $15 an hour and we will settle for nothing else. And it's cool. You can't have that and have the COVID relief bill at the same time. You can't. It doesn't matter how much you scream or shout or do what my daughter does and stomp her feet, right? It doesn't matter. The COVID relief bill will not pass the Senate with the $15 minimum wage increase in it. It sucks. I wish it was $24. But you're not going to get it. So what do? You have to do this weird thing in politics that we have forgotten about in the last 4 years, which is called compromise. It's a real word. Incremental change is a real fucking thing. This isn't a comic book movie. This is reality. So what you have to do is you have to go, what can I get? How can I get the most out of these penny-pinching asshole Republicans to get shit done? How can I help people, right? Because Joe Biden's job and the Democrats' job is to help people. You have another party that is completely inept as far as not even inept, completely refusing to help people, right? They're aware.
Like I said, they're not indifferent. They're antagonistic.
Right, exactly. Like they're not like, oh, what do? We're confused about how the Congress works. No, they know. That's how they're so effective, is they know exactly what to do. So you have one party that is, like you said, antagonistic. You have another party trying to drag the country kicking and screaming into the light. So my question is, do you actually give a fuck about helping people? And if you do, then you might have to give up the minimum wage. You have to. You have to. It's not
even give it up fully. It's just it's not going to be in this bill. Like AOC had the most measured take where she said, hey, I'm not going to vote for this relief bill in the House if Democrats aren't at least fighting for $15 minimum wage. But if the parliamentarian scraps it out, what the fuck are you going to do? Like it is what it is. Like right. Even she understands, like if this ruling comes down and you can't make a justification that, you know, it's that it could be part of the budgetary process, right or not, then you got to take what you can get at that point. Because like you said, actually helping people is way more important than holding up a bill over something that's going to be that's challenging to do in the best of times.
Right. If you just did a bill alone, for $15 an hour, you would still have this fight.
Right.
So why would you jeopardize all of the things, all of the great things in this bill for that? It doesn't make sense. Like if they would have allowed you to put it in, great. But they're not.
I mentioned it last week too, and I'll say it again. Like the fact that this bill is going to be passed within less than 2 months of Biden taking office. Like I'd like to put that in perspective, when the Obama administration came in back in 2009, they had to work on a recovery plan for the country as well.
Right.
And it took what, 10 months, if I'm not mistaken, to get that passed?
Yeah, dude, it took a long time. Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was an $890 billion bill.
Right.
This is more than double that amount of money. And it's being done in a fifth of the time.
Yep.
And it's because of the sense of urgency behind it.
Yeah, you got like it. You got to help people, man. You
right.
Have
like
to.
Like and again, you can drag out the minimum wage fights because you think somehow that this is the only opportunity that fight's going to come up. It's not the only opportunity. In all reality, this bill is the first time that a $15 federal minimum wage has been legitimately in the arena. We've talked about it all the time, but for the past how many years, Republicans have had control of at least one chamber of Congress, right, if not all of Congress. So this is really the first time that this particular aspect of legislation has been actually fought over.
Right.
Things that are of this magnitude don't happen typically the first time out. It takes time. It takes pressure. It takes wearing down. It takes changing of minds. It takes states getting on board with it on a widespread basis. And all of that stuff combines together and pushes federal legislation upward. It happened with gay marriage. Anything like this, it's going to happen in that fashion. It's not a switch that you can flip and just make it happen because you really want it to. Like, it's just not how our government is built to work.
No.
That can be frustrating, but that's the fucking
– it's reality, dude. It's just reality. No, that's an excellent point. Excellent point. Smug, but excellent. So smug. I need people to understand, like, this is never an easy road, right? Like, and it's actually interesting that you brought up gay marriage, right? Because I feel like people understood that more because it's a social issue, mm-hmm, than a financial issue, right? Where people just assume financial issues, like, I don't know, just write a check, dude. Like, who gives a shit? What are we waiting on? This is super easy. But like social issues, you realize, like the civil rights movement, things like that, you got to fight. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep fighting. You got to keep. You lose, come back a little bit, you know, dust yourself off. You keep fighting. You keep fighting. You lose a couple. You keep fighting, right? And then eventually you win. But that's how it is with everything. Like, yes, I'm glad people understand it on a social aspect, and it's important to understand that because that is reality, right? And it's different because, like, you see, like the human hurt behind those losses and the toll that it takes on people as they're pushing forward for gay marriage or civil rights or whatever, right? You understand that. But it's harder to understand that in an abstract, like, we write a check, we send it, and then people get help. Like it's very different, right? There's no protest in the streets kind of thing. So if you understand the social aspect or the social fights, you have to understand that the financial fights are just – they're the same. They're the same. Mm-hmm. They're not as glamorous, quote unquote. They're not as awe-inspiring, right? There's, you know, they're not going to be songs written about the COVID-19 relief bill by Wyclef Jean or something. But there will – but those things have impact. They have real impact. But if you're sick of this, oh, just wait. After they get this done, the next thing is infrastructure, baby. Like, this is about building bridges and shit. And that's going to be super interesting because it affects everybody. Like, COVID affects everybody, but Republicans, like, don't believe it's real or, you know, some weird aspect of that. Like, your bridge falling down in your town, like, that shit is happening everywhere. Like,
yeah. Like I said, if Joe Biden builds a fucking train, like, if he builds, like, the high-speed Biden Amtrak, that shit's around forever.
Yeah, come on, like, man.
You get to see it all the time.
He's got to be the guy who fixes the rail system, right? Like, that's got to be his legacy.
of all the people, yeah.
Right, come on. That's got to be number one. He's like, Amtrak, $2 trillion. Right, like, he's got to be the guy throwing the real money at, like, fixing the train system in this country. Like, that would be dope. Like, I just from his history, I think that would just be fucking awesome for him. And I would, call it the fucking, I don't know, Biden ways or whatever. Who gives a shit? You know, aviator trains or something. I don't know. Doesn't matter. Ice creams are us. Whatever. I think the COVID relief bill is, I'm not saying this as like some newfangled thing, but it's a big deal, right? And it's doing a lot more than just sort of the surface things. I mean, one of the big things is this child tax credit, which is supposed to, you know, pull 50% of kids out of poverty. 50% in this country. Come on, man. Like, I don't care what you think about minimum wage and all this other stuff. And look, if you don't have kids, you might be like, all right, well, I don't care about that. I care about the minimum wage. And I get that. But pulling 50% of kids out of poverty is a huge fucking change in this country. That's a huge – that's giving people a fighting chance, man. So – yeah, that alone to me is impressive as hell. That alone. So hopefully by the time we record again or within two episodes, we'll have hopefully this signed and like shit's moving. So I'm pretty happy about that. I'm happy about the progress. I mean, I wish the minimum wage was in there, but it's not.
I will say though that this initial fight has really made me sad in a lot of ways, because there's a lot of folks out there who became engaged with politics over the last couple of years, who to hear them speak like pre Biden presidency, let me, you know, there's a lot of folks out there. I'm like, man, these people, you know, for not having, you know, I was in a similar boat, like not having a lot of experience, really have caught on and learned some things. And then this fight has really separated the people who have understood politics and the people who just like to yell a lot on the internet about politics.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more people in the latter group that I've come across that have made me sad that are in that latter group that have not actually bothered to learn about the nuance of what we do in this system. So,
well, it's because the last 4 years required no nuance. It required nuance, right? Like if you didn't, like, it's like the idea – I was talking to my nephew. This was like a number of months ago. And he was saying, yeah, he's like a college student. You know, he's like sort of tangentially into politics. And he was like, yeah, it's just really weird. Like, the more you read and the more you know things, it's like – you just realize like every president is like a war criminal. And I said – I was like, yes, but you have to understand like – and we're all very liberal people, but it's like you have to understand, like, you cannot look at the world with such black and white lenses, right? And like
– Nor in the level of hindsight that we look at it as well.
Right. Like, you have to understand that the world is way more complex than you realize it is. And like, there are just decisions that get made. One, sometimes we only know half the truth, right? Like, even – like, I mean, not just like – people who are sort of tangentially into this. I mean everyone who isn't making the actual decisions knows half the information, right?
If not like a small fraction of the actual information.
Right. I mean, it's like this thing with Syria, which I should have put on the docket this week, you know, with Biden in Syria, right? And everyone's like, Biden's calling a war. It's a war, like classic Democrats. And I'm like, no, what's happening is a retaliatory bombing because of American troops and contractors being attacked, right?
Right.
Donald Trump literally was aware of bounties on American soldiers' heads, knew that American soldiers had been killed in Afghanistan, and they paid out for those bounties. Russia paid out for those bounties and did nothing.
Right.
And that is actually not how things should be working in the United States. That's weird.
That is not to give Biden a pass on everything as well.
No, it's not. You shouldn't give him a pass.
But I vehemently disagree with kind of the soft hand that he dealt with Saudi Arabia on the Khashoggi situation.
Yes. Fuck, we should have put that on. Actually, let's talk about it.
Yeah, that's fine. Look, I understand, again, understand that mindset. Saudi Arabia, still a massive ally for us in that part of the country. We've made a lot of good strides also, you know, disengaging and you know, declaring that we're not going to be supporting the war in Yemen anymore, which is arguably the biggest thing to do with the Saudis right now that we need to get our asses out of. You had a huge opportunity here to put a real strong fucking post down in the ground with this. And I feel like you peeled off at a moment that you could have been strong. You could have come down harder. I don't necessarily know what that is. I'm not suggesting that you sanction MBS. I don't necessarily think that was always going to be the move at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I also know that doing so would lead to retaliation with us. And I'm not talking about anything in a war sense. I'm talking about like higher gas prices over the next several weeks.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. Fuck you.
Yeah. Like you absolutely know that would be coming. But I feel like that you had a big chance to put down a strong marker here, and I just feel like you pulled your punch a little bit with the situation.
Yeah, I mean, Saudi Arabia is a delicate. It's not a flower.
Hang on. Jared didn't fix everything? I was led to believe that Jared was going to fix everything when it comes to the Middle East.
I mean, one can make an argument that he did, Brad. He fixed it all right. He got paid.
He sure fixed his financial outlook.
Yeah. I'm like, good. I'm fine.
More so than it already was. So.
Yeah, I'm good. We made $640 million. We're fine. The system is definitely fixed. yeah, I mean, on Khashoggi's killing and sort of basically Biden being like, yeah, well, that's a mulligan on you, MBS. Like,
yeah.
No, that's a mistake. Not even a mistake. That's too light of a word. That's a fuck up, right? As far as what he should have done, I would have sanctioned him. Fuck that. Like, I wouldn't look, we can't allow you to just murder U.S. citizens. Like, it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. You gotta give him a little something, man. And I mean, look, we're not going to war with Saudi Arabia. That's crazy. We would destroy them. we would. Fucking glass everywhere. Get out of here. But like, Saudi Arabia is a precarious country because we owe so much to them because of gas and because of oil purchasing that we're over a barrel, right? Like,
right. Quite literally.
Quite literally over an oil barrel. But. The oil prices have suffered tremendously, and those companies have suffered tremendously because of COVID, right? Because people were just like, I ain't driving. I'm still, by the way, here's a wild side note. I'm still on the original full tank of gas I put in my gas car at the beginning of the pandemic.
I mean, that's not fair because you have a fucking Tesla.
So no, I know, but I also, even if I only had a gas car, yeah, I don't drive. I don't go anywhere almost ever. Like, why? I'm at home.
I'm at the point, like, I do go to work every day, but fortunately my work is literally like 5 miles away from my house. So I'm filling up like once every 3 weeks.
That's not bad. That's all right.
Pretty good.
So. No, I put $50, about $50 in my tank at the beginning of the pandemic. Like, it was like 3 days into the pandemic. I was like, I should probably fill my car. Oh, yeah. We'll be back in 2-3 months. Oops. And I'm literally like, I think I've got like a quarter of a tank left. Most of that gas has been burned by it running in my driveway because I'm like, I should probably start my car. So like, it's been 3 weeks.
Make sure the engine still turns over.
Yeah. Like that's literally it. My car's like, yo, you need a new battery. Cause like this battery is just discharging. What are you doing? That's like my biggest expense, but
just put it into your other car. It'll be fine.
Yeah, no.
That's how it works.
Yeah, like I fucking drive the electric car. What the fuck am I driving a gas car for? Get the hell out of here. But I think, like, so you could either sanction him, which would be like, that's a tough, like, fuck you, right? It's a direct fuck you. Or the other thing is, well, there are three options. You could sanction him, which again is like straight to his face. You could just announce to me like, we are tripling our efforts to get away from foreign oil. Like, release that report and then come out the very next day as like, we're tripling our efforts because we're done with dealing with any of these motherfuckers. Like, that's how you do it, right? Like, you don't even mention that motherfucker. Like, you really want to piss people off, talk about them, but don't mention them, right? Because people hate that. Like, say my name! And be like, no, fuck you. We're moving on from your bullshit. We don't want to be associated with... I'd be like, murderous regimes... around the world. We don't want to deal with that shit. We want to deal with, you know, we want to be concentrated on America. Say shit like that. That pisses him off, but you can't, and they'd be like, oh, who are you talking about? I'd be like, well, I didn't say any. Did Biden say a name? I didn't say a name. Right? So then you double your efforts to produce more oil domestically or however you want to do it. Right? You know, double down, triple down on this idea of more electric cars in the government. Like, right? Like, just like push. Right? Like, those are the kind of things that you do. Because that ultimately just hurts them. The third option is to do what MBS did. You get SEAL Team 6 to grab him and cut him up with chainsaws. Obviously, that's what you do. Obviously, right? He's got a drop squad. No, but in all seriousness, I would probably push for number two, probably the most. Because it's the most, like, it's a petty way of doing it, but it actually helps us. Right. Like, yeah. It's a real fuck you, but it helps us. And I would make sure that people knew that because of the turmoil in countries like that, that we don't find acceptable, that that's why we're going to double down on these things. And as I would be like, and it's going into the infrastructure bill, right? Like one of the things in politics that we don't do enough is sort of, and here's a real education, word, we don't reify things, right? Like, we come up with ideas, we get them moving. Or we let them die and then we stop talking about them. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're pushing for infrastructure changes and you're pushing for, like Green New Deal kind of ideas and more, you know, environmentally friendly things, use moments like this as a way to triple down on that and be like, see, look at this bullshit we got to deal with. We don't want to deal with that. Let's Green New Deal this shit. And then we can America first it or whatever the fuck conservatives want to hear. That's how you focus. Like, that's what I would
do. I think that's a problem beyond just situations like this. I think that we as in the American government, we just need to find different sales pitches sometimes, man. And we like do. I said, that's kind of the problem with just bringing in nothing but like lawyers and shit like that to Congress is that you gotta have a couple salesmen in there, man. Like, you gotta have some people that can think outside the box. Again, I've always thought about things like healthcare, things like minimum wage. You want to get people behind them. Framing them as an economic issue first is helpful. And I'm not talking about a help people out of poverty. I'm talking about I'm talking about a help juice the economy kind of issue. I'm talking about a help put, you know, help put money in the pocket of dumb people that want to spend it on dumb shit. And let them buy their dumb things because that's how the economy fucking runs. And I think the inability to kind of be creative in messaging and be creative with how you're advertising stuff gets you mired in these same arguments that just, you know, get repetitive and cyclical and because the retorts become the same and you just kind of grind to a standstill. get some people in there that can sell things a little bit differently.
This is going to sound weird, but there's only one man who can do this. You got to hire Nick Naylor, right? From Thank You for Smoking. Like, that's who you want. You got to figure out.
You kind of do need it, like a Nick Naylor.
Yeah, you do. Like you need honestly. A guy or gal or several of them, who are capable of like the sounds weird. Capable of like pushing the bullshit, but for good, right? Like you got to figure out how to like, and so Trump is a perfect example of just being able to push total bullshit, but it's just literally bullshit. Like there's nothing worth it behind him, right? But like figure out how to push messaging and like work that sort of thing, but without the lies. Right. Like you got to figure out how to say we're going to move off of foreign oil in a way that people go, yeah, yeah. And the easiest way to do that is patriotism. Right. Like, we don't
I don't
need
know if that's
them
the easiest way anymore. I don't know if that's the easiest way anymore, honestly. I think in the past that can work. No, I think a lot of folks, especially on our side of the aisle, and I'm not talking about politicians now. Now I'm talking about just rank and file folks that have been really disillusioned by the fucking concept of America.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I don't know if patriotism is going to be what gets people fucking running in that sense. So.
Well, look, there are plenty of marketing campaigns that market to two different demographics at the same time.
It's true.
It happens all the time. You think they sell Coke to New Yorkers as they sell it to Arizonans? Like, no. No, they don't. They figure out markets, man. And if your market is, I'm a conservative and I love America, patriotism. You like, you know, small flags for some. You know,
abortions for some
small
major American flags
for others. Right? You know, like that's what you do, right? So, like
the Kodos plan. So. The Kodos
plan. So yeah, you market it to conservatives as like this is pro patriotism, like. Let's fucking do it. Fuck them foreigners, man. Let's fucking get out of there. And like, let's do our thing in America. We don't need them. And they'd be like, hell yeah. And to, you know, and to liberals be like, look, Earth's on fire, motherfucker. Like, let's do this shit so we can try to get away from this. Let's get more electric cars. Look, if I'm Joe Biden, number one thing I do, I get like me, George W. Bush. What's another like reasonable conservative by today's standards that like people still like, I don't know, John McCain's dead.
John McCain's corpse.
Right. Like you drag his corpse up. Like somebody who conservatives still respect, but is like reasonable. That's not like a Trump era guy. Right.
And that list is quickly diminishing.
Yeah. It's getting low. Yeah, I know. But you find somebody that they still respect. Like I think they still kind of respect George W. Bush. Like they still like him. Right. Not maybe respect. That's a harsh word. But they still like the guy. Right. They do. You get him to get out there with like GM or one of those things and be like, I'm clearing brush with this F-150 or whatever the fuck. Right. But it's electric. And people are like, damn, that's fucking badass, dude. Like, that's all you got to do. Play to people's fucking bullshit, man. Like, stop all the nonsense of like, oh, well, did you know the earth is on fire? You're like, fuck the earth. You're like, they don't care about that stuff. But did you know that this new F-150 that's electric can dust the shit out of this gas one? Then they're like, hell yeah, dude. Like, that's what they want. That's what they want. Hey, it's not silent. You could turn on the fucking douchebag button and it's loud as fuck. Whatever. Who cares? Just stop using oil. Like, I don't care. I don't care how you get there. Just stop using it. And marketing is a really important thing. Look, Republicans know. They've been marketing their bullshit for the last couple of years. They don't have any plans. Imagine if they had plans. Like, imagine if they had
like,
plans.
Like I said, their whole party's fucking philosophy is white grievance right now.
That's
there's
it.
There's not a single policy to be found.
Not a
they're,
one.
They're on Fox News complaining about Dr. Seuss being canceled right now.
Brad, we're going to talk about it because we have 10 minutes. We have Brad, we have 10 minutes left in the reasonable part of this show. I do want to talk about Dr. Seuss and I do want to talk about Mr. Potato Head.
I barely – so like the
Mr. I have no idea about the Dr. Seuss thing. I do know about the Mr. Potato Head.
I don't either. All I know is that conservatives are really mad about it.
I'm going to look it up because I want to
find
out.
I'm assuming Dr. Seuss is – got canceled or something.
Oh, no. I do know. Six of his books got pulled because they had like racial or offensive imagery in them.
Okay. Yes.
No.
Products of their time.
No.
I understand that.
No, fuck that.
Like it's totally fine to pull that shit.
What are the books? Whatever.
I don't even know. Does it matter? It doesn't matter.
I want to.
Let's talk about Potato Head, Jay.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how a child's toy.
10 minutes, Brad. No, you know what? 10 minutes, Brad. Let's give it 10 minutes. We'll give it 10 minutes and then we're going to talk
about
it.
I'm just saying the toy was inherently non-gendered in the first place. Like, what the
That's not true. There's Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Yeah, but what? The parts are all interchangeable, Jay. It doesn't fucking matter.
In your liberal world, they are. I don't think so. The parts are not interchangeable. God made Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head, not Potato Head and Steve or whatever. I don't know. Whatever, Steve. Whatever dumb shit Republicans say. I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
This country is run by idiots. like legitimately idiots. Let's talk about Andrew Cuomo.
very nice transition. A+.
This country is run by idiots. What about Andrew Cuomo?
Oh, my God.
What are your thoughts?
I didn't think we'd get here during hour one. So it's cool. It's cool that we did.
I have a feeling this is going to slide into hour two.
Yeah, I'm sure. Look, man. Again, scumbaggery is not a party unique trait. There are certainly scumbags on the Democratic side of the aisle. I don't think anyone should be shocked in the least that Andrew Cuomo is actually a scumbag. Like, are you surprised that Andrew Cuomo is a scumbag, Jay?
No,
like,
I'm not.
Doesn't he just kind of fucking come off as with like that scumbag demeanor in a lot of ways?
I get a very scumbag Italian stereotype vibe from him. Look, these fucking broads are coming at your boy Andrew. Trying to touch my gabagool. It's not my fault. Have you seen my brother? Very, very fit guy. The ladies like the Cuomos. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. I'm not surprised.
Again, we like pretty cut and dry here. I mean, like when confronted with this, he wasn't like, "Nah, this didn't happen." He was just like, "It was misinterpreted. My bad. Sorry, guys."
Look. I give him that. That's a good approach. It's a good approach. Like, he was like, I mean, do their own investigation, and they may have come, it came off as flirtation. I didn't mean it to come off that way. That's a lot better than these bitches are lying. That's a lot better.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, though, that's not the approach that's going to get you, that's going to quiet the calls for you to GTFO.
Oh, no. Once again, Democrats prove that they will hold their party accountable. Republicans do not do that. And that's the biggest stark. That's the starkest thing about this is that Andrew Cuomo is being accused by two women of sexually harassing them, and the chances of Andrew Cuomo finishing out the year are low.
Yes,
right, they're low. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has 37 women, and I'm not exaggerating, saying that he has gone from anywhere from sexual harassment to literally rape. And he has paid the price for zero of this.
Yep.
So, no, I mean, look, you know, he was smart. I will give him credit. He was smart to say, look, do an independent investigation. AOC was like, yeah, we need to do an independent investigation. I think that's the right move. Look, I don't know if he did anything, but my guess is yes.
it wouldn't shock me.
No, it wouldn't shock me at all.
It wouldn't shock me.
I don't think these women are making it up. I mean, look. How about this? This isn't even the reason why he should leave the job. Covering up the deaths in the nursing homes is the reason he should go.
Let's just agree. There's a lot of reasons that Andrew Cuomo should probably resign as governor.
Right. I'm just saying, like, if we're putting it out between those two, covering up the deaths of people is way worse than being like, hey, nice tits, right? Like, it just is. And I'm not saying that's not important or like it's not serious, but he should be gone for that. Like, that shit's wildly, wildly unacceptable behavior. So look, you know, Cuomo 63, apparently he was harassing two former aides, including a woman named Charlotte Bennett, who's 25, who said the governor had complained of being lonely and asked if she kept if she slept with older men during a meeting at the Capitol office last year. Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Not even slick about it. Hey, man, I'm lonely. You trying to fuck? Like,
that's a pretty, I mean,
Andrew, relax.
I gotta be like, has he not been paying attention to the news for the last 3 years?
Yeah, but I feel like that's unfair, like, cancel culture, Brad.
I feel like he's not been, because I can't imagine doing something so stupid considering, you know, the Me Too movement that's been ongoing for the last several years. How do you think that's not going to surface at some point?
Yeah, it's because powerful men are generally pretty stupid when it comes to shit like this.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. Just go fuck your wife, dude. Just go fuck your wife. Like, it's fine. Isn't he married?
I think so.
Yeah, you're lonely. All right. Yeah, your job's hard. I get it. It's lonely at the top. Try not to fuck your subordinates or attempt to fuck your subordinates, because right, it's going to blow up in your face.
Right. Just don't come on to them, maybe.
Just you know? Look, just get a hooker. Like, and seriously, like, you're less likely to get caught.
It's a lot. I'm about to say, it's a lot easier to keep it discreet.
Yeah. Just get a hooker, dude. Oh, I'm lonely. 1-800-HOOKING. I assume. And then,
listen,
fucking,
you think Elliot Spitzer was the only New York fucking Democrat to hire Hooker? No.
Right. And they
think of all the people that were able to keep it under wraps.
He was client number nine, Spitzer. Not number one. Yeah. There were eight other clients ahead of him. But like, never forget that they only nailed Elliot Spitzer because he was going after people on Wall Street and somebody dimed his ass out. It wasn't because they gave a fuck that he was banging hookers. They were like, have at it, Hoss. Get it. Like, because they probably were too. Like, let's get real. They probably were. They saw him coming. They saw him leaving out the door. And they were coming in. They were client number 10. They're like, oh, Andrew. you know, it's just like this idea. Like, all right, you want to fuck around your wife? Don't do it with staff. Like, I'm just saying, like, just don't do that. Like, Tony Soprano was right. Don't shit where you eat. Right?
Meanwhile, Trump's sycophant Lee Zeldin is now thinking about running for governor in the wake of all this.
Okay. All right. Spoiler alert. You're not going to win.
I mean, you could. They've had Republican governors before.
I know.
But it's not likely.
AOC, now is your time. Run for governor.
I don't need necessarily either be governor.
No, I don't either. Actually, I
like her where she is.
No, I think her next move is Senate. Like, come on. The second Chuck Schumer resigns, or retires, that's her seat. Go for it. You're gonna win it. Like, 100%, you're gonna win. And she'll
It's interesting. 31. It's interesting for her, because I almost feel like a higher profile job for her specifically would be like mayor of New York City.
Being mayor of New York City is a much more high profile job than governor of New York. Yeah, yes. 100%.
Nobody gives a fuck. I guess it depends what her aspirations are long term, right? Like I feel like if you want to be president, I feel like being New York City mayor is probably a better way to go. Rudy Giuliani aside.
You may want to add another mayor to that list too, buddy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, remember when Elizabeth Warren murdered the former mayor of New York on television? What are you talking about? No, I don't think so, because everyone hates the mayor of New York. Everyone hates the mayor of New York.
That's fair, too.
Yeah, like, it's an impossible situation. It's like being president. Like, you can't win. So if you're going to get the job where 50% of the people hate you, or actually it's probably like 75%, might as well be president. Might as well be. She will probably run for president right around the time she's like 40-something. 45? Yeah. She'll have plenty of experience. She'll have all the bona fides of being like super liberal and not backing down. She's smart as a fucking whip. Yeah. And by that time, hopefully she'll finally send Ben Shapiro his feet pics that he's been asking for. yeah. No, but in her 40s. Maybe 50s if she wants to, like, feel very mature about it. But, yeah, she'd probably run in, like, mid-40s. I'd vote for her, depending on who she's running against. Sure. I like her. I think she's got a lot to learn. But but here's the thing. She's learning real fast.
Yeah.
Learning real fast. That's how I know she's smart, because the longer she's in it, the more Rose Twitter hates her guts. I'm like, oh, yeah, because you realize you can't make – insane arguments, and they make sense once you're in Congress. They don't work. When she first got in, it was like a bunch of bullshit, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then she's like, oh, maybe we should learn to compromise with stuff. I'm like, oh yeah, because there's a whole party that's trying to fuck over the country, and there's nothing you can do. You do the best you can. It's reality. That's what I appreciate about her. She's a learner, and she's not just a person who's just smashing her head against a wall being stubborn. That's a sign of intelligence. And lack thereof, trying to fuck your 25-year-old staff member. So yeah, I don't think Andrew Cuomo makes it to the end of 2021 still in that position. No way.
I think we've learned also nothing else from Andrew Cuomo over the last several months. Don't put out a book spiking the football based on like 3 months of work.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's a bad move.
You're fucking welcome, New York. Yeah, well, how about that? They will come for you, man. They will come for you.
Like, you only made it to the 50-yard line, you idiot.
Standing there.
You haven't scored a touchdown yet.
It's that Andrew Cuomo is that meme I just recently saw. They used Papa John's, where it's like the guy's celebrating. Like, he's got the medal. He's celebrating and everything, and he's got the champagne. He's pouring it on himself. And then it like pans out and he's like at the bottom of the podium. He's like in last place. That's Andrew Cuomo. Just relax, dude. And Chris Cuomo, you're not allowed to interview your brother anymore. Not over this.
No.
You can't.
I mean, you really probably shouldn't have in the first place, but
I didn't mind it when it was the like light fun shit. Like when they were like, I got it, right? They were trying to keep things light while everybody was going through some shit. I didn't hate that. Like, I thought it was actually really nice to watch two brothers, like, especially like Chris Cuomo came down with COVID and he was like, you know, Andrew, like they're real brothers and they gave each other shit and stuff like that. And the country, I felt like some parts of the country needed that, right? They needed to see Cuomo. Like, New Yorkers needed to see Cuomo human, right? They did. And I thought that was perfectly fine. But now, oh no, you need to just go the fuck away. You can't. Mm-mm. That's not good at all. But you know, that family, man, they got a history.
They do.
It ain't all good either.
They certainly do. Like I said, the most Chicago politics, this side of the Hudson.
Yeah. No fucking kidding.
It's like, well, my family. So
yeah, pretty, that's pretty fucking apt. It really is pretty fucking apt. All right, Donald Trump and we're in the after party now.
We are.
Donald Trump and Melania got vaccinated in secret back in January. 30% of Republicans are saying that they are definitely going to get vaccinated, and 70%+ of Democrats are saying they're definitely going to get vaccinated.
You know what number upsets me more, in all honesty?
70%.
The 70%. We're supposed to be fucking smarter than that. What are you idiots doing? How the fuck are 3 out of 10 Democrats being like, well, maybe?
Yeah, those are those like anti-vax moms, right?
I hate them.
Yeah,
they're so stupid. Again, this seems stupid to me. Why would you make this a secret? Like, I get why he would make it a secret, but at the same time, like, aren't you trying to like spike the football and fucking tout like how awesome you were that you're the one that made this vaccine happen? Like, wouldn't you want to fucking promote that shit?
No, because he had a bunch of his nutball supporters who didn't believe in it. That's why. Well,
I mean, like I said, keep your secret to get a lot of your fucking idiots killed, but whatever.
I mean, but like, I really think that's a big part of it is if he had to come out and like, it's weird, right? Like, I created this vaccine. Like, you didn't create shit. Like, you, right. You didn't create shit. But like, I created this vaccine. Did you take it? Why are you bringing up bullshit? like why wouldn't you take it? I don't know. Next question. Like, no, I would have been out there and been like, this is me. This is my wife. We're taking it. This is important. We should all take it.
I mean, but again, this is the same guy that wouldn't be seen wearing a mask in public except for when he came home from the hospital.
Right. And then he took it off. Coronavirus.
Right. As soon as he walked inside.
Look at me. Look at my face. Yeah, this is a mistake. You know, some people are like, oh, I can't believe he, jumped to the front of the line on this. I'm like, there's a president, you know, like, I want the president to be vaccinated. What the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's crazy. Like, he should be. But he also should be out there out front, like Joe Biden was, saying like, yeah, I'm getting vaccinated. Like, what the fuck? Here you go. Like, don't be afraid of this shit. Everything is fine. I mean, right now they're saying that the transmission rate is between 86% and 89% decreased with people being fully vaccinated. That is amazing, dude. That is amazing. There was a report that came out of Britain today that said that it virtually kills all transmission. They're using – I think they're largely using the AstraZeneca one, which is not one that is in the U.S. yet but will be available in like April. Meanwhile, Johnson & Johnson, they just started shipping their one-shot vaccine yesterday. So on Monday, the 1st. Things are moving in the right direction. But for Trump and Melania to keep that a secret was just not just poor politics. It's just really shitty to your particular fans.
Well, and what's funny, and this got lost in the deluge of insanity during his 90-minute CPAC speech the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He literally said during that, like, yeah, everyone should get the vaccine. Why wouldn't you then advertise that you got it as well?
Yeah. I don't get it.
Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But then again, they did take his Twitter away, Jay. So how was he going to tell anybody? He's only the president.
He couldn't. It's not like he could have gone on a news channel and just been like, hey, I just don't understand. Like, just brag on your shit. Be like, yeah, I did that. Project Warp Speed or whatever bullshit that like Project Warp Speed. Like, I did that. You're welcome. I mean, you didn't really do anything, but not much of anything. And just be like, look, take it. I took it. I feel great. And I don't exercise. I believe in a human battery. I'm an idiot.
You know what? Actually, I'm now sitting and thinking about it more. I'm actually glad he didn't tell people that.
Oh, you think people would have not taken it because he took it?
No. Could you imagine if he did and then like he bitched about like if he had some bad like symptoms or something like that after the fact and it bitched about it? Can you imagine the fucking end result of that?
Oh, yeah, that would have been pretty bad. Then my arm stopped working. I couldn't even play tennis. That would not be good. I would just be like, could you just tell us like 6 weeks after you took it? Make sure you're fine.
It added 6 strokes to my golf game. I couldn't even kick the ball out of the rough onto the fairway to get a better lie. I couldn't taste all of the delicious hamburgers that I was trying to shovel into my mouth.
Oh my God. Did you hear
my diet? My Diet Coke didn't taste normal. It didn't taste normal at all. I still haven't quite gotten the regular Diet Coke taste back.
I've been hitting the Diet Coke button on my desk. I call it the Southern Resolute desk. What a dick. Did you hear that his blood oxygen levels when he had COVID were in the 80s?
Yes, that's really bad, by the way, for people that don't understand how that's supposed to work.
Or blood oxygen levels.
Anything below 92% is real bad.
So real bad.
Just an FYI.
Like, he, you know, people are like, oh, he was faking it. Yo, he was like this close to dying, dude. Like, he was about, they thought when they brought him to Walter Reed from the White House that they were going to have to put him on a ventilator. He was that bad. So close.
Solid.
God. So close, Brad. So close.
We were. Think of how much better we would have been on a jump start if, you know, Mike Pence had been president for 3 months.
Yeah.
Getting back on the road to recovery. Because Mike Pence is a lot of things. An idiot about the fucking COVID vaccine, I don't think he would have been. Or about COVID treatment, I don't think he would have been.
No, I think he would have been like immediately like, yo, we got to turn this shit around. Like, this dude is dead. All right. Like, and it's a perfect reason to turn it around, right? Like, this killed our great leader. We have to do something, right?
We must declare war on the virus. Take out your guns.
Yeah, sure.
Find the virus on the street.
Shoot
like
at
the
it.
Episode of The Simpsons when Chief Wiggum was like shooting at the Asian flu.
Right, like at best, their profound ignorance would help us a little bit. And then of course, Pence would have lost. He would have lost.
Yes,
100%. Because he has a charisma of a. I don't know, an actual bolt, like a bolt you put into, you know, you use. He would have lost. Biden would have won. But we wouldn't have had those months of like, it's a rigged election. Like, Pence wouldn't have done that. Like, he just wouldn't have done it.
We wouldn't have had the rigged election. There would have actually been some kind of a distribution plan in place.
Yeah.
Of some nature when the Biden administration stepped into the office. Like, I have to imagine that Mike Pence would have realized the urgency of the situation and like, let's do something.
Like, it probably would be terrible, but like, we got to do something. And again, fighting COVID, I think the vast majority of American presidents, whatever side, would have had a better plan is to put it, you know, incredibly mildly than something.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. As difficult as COVID would have been to any president, it also simultaneously would not have been hard. Like that's a layup in a lot of senses. Just to work to coordinate the response and bring people around you who are gonna like you have to act like it's kind of like there's this adage in the NFL that the reason that like it's harder to go 0-16 than it is to go 16-0 because like so many weird things have to go against you in order to go to not win a game all season long. Like you have to actively try to be shitty to fuck up something as badly as they fucked up.
Right. And they did. They literally did. Yeah. No, it's a good point. Like, it's one thing to, like, be really, really good. It's another thing to try, like, actively be bad. Like, you just, hike, and then you just throw in the ball into your own face? Like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like,
throw it right down on the ground? Like, oh, that's...
Oh, man, I'm not good. This sucks. But, that's a good analogy. It's... So I think Pence would have probably again I'm not sure it would have been like as robust and amazing or anything, but it certainly he would never have allowed Biden to come into the presidency and be like there's no plan, like there's no way Biden might be like this plan sucks and I got a better plan and that's okay, it's totally fine, but there's no way Pence walks out of there with no plan for distribution. You know, just as a quick aside, before we get into more of this, we were, you know, Biden was saying that he's trying to get 100 million injections, basically not fully vaccinated because it's a two-parter, but 100 million injections in 100 days. I remember the media was like, that's impossible. That's impossible. Get out of here. You're an idiot. Then he was like, no, we're doing it. And then they were like, don't you think that's too low?
It's too like, low.
All right. Which would keep them at being at a million injections a day. Mm-hmm. You know the number is now?
What's it at?
It's at 1.8 million injections a day.
Well, I feel like it's pretty good.
It's pretty good, man. That's pretty
Where's
good.
Mine, Jay?
You don't matter, Where's Brad. Mine? Where's mine? Stuck in this basement. Trying to find a way out.
I started losing weight too soon. Now that now I don't have the comorbidities anymore.
I'm sorry.
I should have kept it.
Oh, if I had only stayed less healthy than I am now. What an idiot I am. Like, yeah, no, I think you might have made the right choice. But it's that's funny. Terrible, but funny. But yeah, 1.8 million injections a day. Like that's an incredible rate. Like that's almost double what they were projecting. They're moving, man. They're moving. And that's also 1.8 million injections with these two-parters, right? These two-part vaccines. When this Johnson & Johnson one goes wide, if you're pushing that one out with one injection, that's fucking crazy. Like, mm-hmm. the percentage of people who will be fully vaccinated will increase dramatically. Just right, dramatic.
Exponential.
Yeah, exponentially. So yeah. It's that's a good thing, man. That's nothing but good. And again, if we're talking about having the vast majority of people vaccinated by May, that's looking pretty good, man. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. Again, I need people to understand Spider-Man No Way Home comes out in December. I really want to see it in theaters.
Look, No Time to Die comes out in October.
So there you go. See? Look. Priorities. Look, because and I was on the show and I've said this a number of times. I was very leery about what the transmission rates were because I'm like, cool, it's great everyone's vaccinated, but the transmission rates are still going to be, you know, like fairly high. But if they're talking almost 90% decrease in transmission rates, that's pretty good. Like, if getting the vaccine itself protects, you know, has like an 85 to like 90 plus percentage success rate, you know, like deflecting this thing, then you can't get any better than that than until kids get vaccinated. Like, you just, mm-hmm. you cannot get better than that. And Fauci basically came out the other day and said they should have something for kids by the end of the calendar year of 2021 or the first quarter of 2022. That's not bad. Mm-hmm. That's not bad. And I need people to pay attention to this, man. I need people to understand that this dude went from nothing to getting the vast majority of this country vaccinated in months. That's the difference between bullshit and a real president. Like, that's the difference. So, yeah, like, you got to give Joe Biden his flowers on that, man. Like, that's pretty dope.
Jay, he promised me $2,000 and he's only going to give me $1,400. He promised me, Jay. Vote in Georgia, they said. I did vote in Georgia, Jay. I drove down to Georgia and I voted multiple times.
Yeah, illegally, but I voted. Yeah.
My $2,000, Jay.
Where's my $2,000?
They saved your life. I don't care. Where's my $2,000? This is only $1,400.
Yeah, doesn't matter. What were you going to get with Republicans? $600. All right. All right, cool. You got it. Yeah, look. I will even take the stance. I'm being more open. I will even take the stance that it was marketed incorrectly, that they told people that it was $2,000, even though people are trying to pretend that they don't understand it. I think they're lying, but I'll give you that. I'll give you that. He owes you $2,000. Guess what? You're not going to get $2,000. It is what it is. But, and this goes to a conversation we were starting to have earlier, which is, you're not just voting for yourself. You're not just voting for your quote unquote $2,000. You're also voting to reunify kids and to stop, you know, the slide into fascism and the COVID relief bill and minimum wage increase. You're voting for way more and not just about you. You have to get off of that selfish shit.
How about also you don't get hung up on $600, which for many of us, and I don't mean to belittle this, but for many of us, that's a relatively inconsequential amount of money to have thrown in there. And why don't you worry about recurring payments? Why don't you worry about trying to get bills with stabilizers passed in them so that we don't have to go through this bullshit every time that stimulus needs to happen?
Listen to Brad. $600 is inconsequential. Yeah, you didn't hear me say anything. Give me your $600.
I said to many.
Yeah,
I said
to many. Mm, yes. Yes. Brad polishing his monocle as he says it. Oh, $600. I spend that on coffee every week. Like, wow, Brad, relax. Jeez. Although I'm dumping all of my persona onto you. It's hilarious. $600 is not it can temporarily change.
It's not make or break money.
But it can change people's lives, but only temporarily. It can't change your lives in any long-term way because it's simply just not enough. Like, it's just not. So, again, people want to be, you know, pedantic and say, oh, it was $600 and then another $2,000 or $600, another $1,400. Look, that's fine. Whichever argument you want to make, I don't really give a shit. I already know what the reality is. It's fine. Make the argument that you want to make. However, that is not the only reason why you're voting. It simply isn't. or it shouldn't have been. Because if you say that and you're also calling yourself, you know, Rose Twitter, hyper-liberal person, then you don't actually give a fuck about other people. I don't vote just for myself. I'm like, if I don't – look, spoiler alert, I'm not getting any of this money. I'm not getting any of it, right? I don't care, not because I don't care about people getting the money. I don't care about the sort of pedantic argument of $600. I care about what other things are way more effective that are actually helping people, like a child tax credit. Yes, I also get that, but I'm worried about the other people that that helps. If I'm pulling 50% of the population out of poverty, that matters more to me than $600. It just matters more to me.
I would argue if you're middle class, like, I don't care which party you vote for, you're generally not voting in your own self-interest. It's literally impossible.
Yeah.
Unless your self-interest is racism and you're voting for Republicans.
Yes. That is correct. I mean, that's just a cold, hard fact. All right. How do we keep this light? FBI deems Capitol riot as domestic terrorism. You know what wasn't domestic terrorism? Shooting that woman in the face. Is that light enough?
Also true.
still Babbitt season, man.
You know who's feeling light nowadays, Jay? Christopher Wray, who's out here testifying.
Oh, yeah, he's just saying whatever the fuck he wants now.
Like not worried about losing his job anymore.
That's right, baby. Like, oh,
I don't have to walk on eggshells anymore. This is great. This is great.
I can't believe he survived fantastic. 4 years. I truly can't.
I mean, wait, did he survive?
Or not 4 years, but no. Survived the Trump administration.
Like three and a half years. Yeah. Yeah, he tried like 3.5 years. Yeah, like weird having, you know, a dude. And to be fair, like Chris Wray was one of the more vehement people in Trump-adjusted terms during the Trump administration, yeah. Like being able to call this shit out. But now he's like, yeah, man, he's like fucking domestic terrorism. These white folks are crazy.
We got to do something.
Like, this is nuts. Not to be outdone, Jay. One Chuck Grassley, fresh off of Pigeon Watch, sitting in the Senate today, made sure to also compare what happened at the Capitol. He made sure to compare a similar thing that happened on the left, Jay, the 3-day siege that happened at the White House in June. Do you remember the 3-day siege that happened in June at the White House?
I literally do not.
You know, when all the protests were happening outside the White House.
Oh, that,
for 3 days.
Okay.
That siege that was happening. That's the word he used, Jay. He called it a siege, a 3-day siege, comparable to what happened at the Capitol. You know, the Capitol, where 4 people died and 2 other people killed themselves in the aftermath of what happened.
And laptops were stolen and by seemingly a neo-Nazi and trying to give it to Russian intelligence. And
Confederate flags being carried through the halls of Congress and,
yeah.
You know, Mitt Romney almost fucking dying and, you know, all
Mike Pence being almost murdered.
Yeah. Yeah, being you know, the vice president, we're going to hang him, that kind of stuff. Like that's the same, Jay, as the protests that happened in Washington, D.C.
The legal protests.
The White House. The legal protests. The ones that the president was so worried about that they had to literally build security fencing around the perimeter of the White House because they were scared. You know, the guys that they were so afraid of that they had to bring out the National Guard with tear gas to disperse a crowd so the president could walk and hold a Bible upside down outside of a boarded up church. That siege, Jay, the siege that gripped our country for 3 days was exactly the same as what happened on January 6th. Domestic terrorism. Thanks, Chuck Grassley. How are you not dead?
Isn't he 104 years old?
Approximately, give or take.
I mean, I feel like he's not going to make it, right? Like, didn't he have COVID? Was it Chuck Grassley?
He did. He did.
How did he make it? How?
I don't know. He's literally like 92.
Like, he's an old dude, man.
Yeah, like he's literally like 92 years old. When is his term over? God, I hope it's not like 4 years.
Yo, he's been in office since 1981. He's 87. He's been in office 1 year less than I've been alive.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuck Grassley needs to fucking go.
Yeah, He probably does. Oh, good. Wait, what? Hang on a second. When did he get reelected? I don't even know. It doesn't matter. Chuck Grassley's old as shit. How the fuck is he not dead?
Yeah. We don't need 87-year-olds.
These are my questions.
These are my questions. How are you not dead? Wow. He was fucking elected in 1980. That's crazy, dude. That's crazy. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Ugh, Joni Ernst. Fuck out of here.
He was a senator. Like him and Leahy were senators when Jimmy Carter was president.
Yo, that's wild. Oh, the shit they've seen.
They've seen some stuff.
Yeah, they definitely have. God damn. Yes, the FBI considers that shit domestic terrorism. Good. They've made like 308 arrests, I think, or something like that. Whenever the AG gets a sign off, when Merrick Garland gets a sign off, people are like, when is anything going to happen? Soon after. They're just waiting. I'm sure the shit from the White House is keep your fucking mouth shut. Keep it tight.
Yeah. What? Keep powder dry.
Yeah. Keep your powder dry. Second, we get this AG in there, we're rocking and rolling. And that's what they need to do. That's what they need to do. But I have a feeling they're going to be a lot harder on these people. If the FBI is saying that this is domestic terrorism, they're not going to go light on these guys. Like, they're not. Like, now that they're free to really go after these pieces of shit, and also Christopher Wray said in his statements in front of Congress, he basically was like, look, there's no reason to believe that Antifa or some like fake Trump supporters. He's like, no, they were like, get the fuck out of here. Like, these people were very,
yeah, he also said about the election, he's like, there's literally nothing to suggest that the results were anything but fucking fine.
Yeah.
Like, we've looked into it. There's nothing there.
No. Oh, so, like, of course there wasn't. Yeah. Trump just made shit up. So there you go. Brad. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, an idiot, says that it's time to open Texas 100% end statewide mask mandate, and stores and venues can open 100% with no restrictions. Now, Brad, before you say something, because I know you have something probably very ignorant to say about America's Texas citizens, and I don't think it's fair. I would just like to say that Texas is eventually going to be blue, and we should respect them and respect where they're going. But until then,
I know Texas, and I know that there ain't nothing good that's ever come from that filthy, white trash, honky state of Texas.
That's right. That's still one of the greatest clips of all time. Texas, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
You know what, Jay? I don't think we're being fair to Governor Abbott here. I mean, it's not like we have any, like we're flying blind into the wind right now. It's not as if, and this is a complete hypothetical that I'm just pulling off of the top of my head, it's not as if this same governor did a very similar thing mere months ago during the summertime that then immediately led to a giant spike in cases, hospitalizations, and deaths in the state of Texas during the pandemic. It's not as if that happened.
No,
that he could draw back from his prior experience to say, huh, maybe I shouldn't do this until the vaccine is more readily available.
Well, but Brad,
my state.
In fairness, mm-hmm. He said that because of the increased vaccinations, that's one of the reasons they're reopening. Mm-hmm. There's 29 million people in Texas. Mm. 2% have been vaccinated.
Hmm.
That's only 98% left. It's fine, right?
That's true. That's true.
You know how many people have died in Texas of COVID, Brett?
Any idea? I don't, but I have a feeling you're going to tell me.
Yeah. 45,000 people on this.
Feels like a lot of people.
Feels like a lot. And they're saying concert.
Literally almost one-tenth of the deaths in the country.
Yes. Not like that's like more than a third of all the people who like vote in West Virginia. I would just like to point out, like, it's crazy. Yeah.
So I heard a speculative reason why Greg Abbott might be jumping the gun a little bit, when it comes to reopening the state.
Is it because he's a fucking idiot?
Well, that's certainly probably the biggest.
I mean, come on.
There are people speculating that he's afraid inaction. Because remember, he's running for re-election this year, or not this year, next year. He's afraid that inaction is going to cause him to get primaried by his lieutenant governor. And so he's trying to make sure that he gets out ahead of it, because Republicans, especially in states like Texas, where they're likely to hang on to power, are way more afraid of getting primaried than they are of losing a general election. And I feel like in a situation like this, you're going to have to choose which of those things you're more afraid of, because not doing this will probably get you primaried, but doing this and then a bunch of people fucking dying is probably going to not bode well for you if you make it to a general election.
How about this? How about this, Brad? It's time for Beto to run for governor. It is.
I'm not banking on him winning, but why not?
I say go for it. Run, Beto.
Yeah.
Run. Take your ass down to Fatburger or wherever the fuck it, or Whataburger, and get that campaign started. No, I think you should. I think you should. 45,000 people have died in Texas, which is fucking insane. Texas has gone through a cold snap that killed people. People, homes were destroyed, or had crazy damage to them. They were freezing. They were literally taking snow and boiling it so they could have potable water. All of that, and on top of that, you're gonna like, hey, now that that's not even over yet, why don't we double down and say no masks either, right? Why don't we put Texans back in the saddle of bullshit again in order for them to suffer? Because they're saying like concert venues, 100% capacity, no masks. That's insane, dude. That's fucking nuts.
Here's more fun facts about this. So at the beginning of the pandemic, Greg Abbott appointed 4 medical professionals to advise him on pandemic related things. A smart thing to do.
Sure.
Reasonable. Literally half of those medical advisors have already come out and commented and said, yeah, he didn't talk to me about this before he made this decision.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It's probably the primary thing, which is wild.
Yeah.
The call is coming from inside the house, the governor's house. yeah. Well, you know what? That's fine. That's on you, man. That's on you. Hey, Texas, stop voting for Republicans. Stop.
It'd be nice.
Just stop. Stop. Stop voting for them. They don't give a fuck about you, man. And I think part of it also has to do with trying to stick it to Biden and the Democrats. Right?
I'm sure.
Keeping it more chaotic. Like, oh, well, they got the vaccine rolling. Well, if they get all these people vaccinated by May, then what do we look like? Well, fuck it. Let's just open the place. People will love that anyway. Oh, fucking Texas and all this other bullshit. Yeah. No, I think it's part of the calculus.
The Dallas Morning News is running a straw poll on Twitter saying, do you agree with the governor's decision? Now, of course, it's on Twitter, so it's not like it's only Texans that are in this poll. But 74.5% say no, probably not a good idea to reopen the state fully right now. Look, here's the thing. We get Texas a lot of shit. I'm the anti Gary Hart. I love Texas. I've been there several times. I enjoy the state. You got great food. Like I said, San Antonio is still the best Mexican food I've ever had in my life. Probably will be to this day because it's actually authentic Mexican. It's fantastic.
Okay.
I'm probably not visiting your state for a really long time.
No, hell no.
Sorry.
Incidentally, the best Mexican food I ever had was in New Mexico. It's very good. It's amazing. Definitely not Nevada. One of those fucking landlocked trash states. Get out of here. But it's yeah, look, for that white trash honky state of Texas. I love that club. It's beyond logical to keep these people in masks. Like when you're trying to vaccinate people, you don't make it harder for you don't create a bigger and bigger wave for us to vaccinate. You lower that wave so people can get vaccinated and are healthy, and then you move like as like if your state gets to like 75% vaccinated, then open up. I got no problem with it. It doesn't have to get to 100%. But get it to 75% and then open it up. But don't open it up when you're at 2%. That doesn't make any sense.
Right.
You're only going to make life harder.
Again, don't be shocked when, you know, we're seeing deaths in the thousands a day in Texas by itself. Like it's not going to get better right now. It's not. And like I said, I hope for the sake of his citizens that his gambit works, because basically what he's trying to do here, just look like a hero. He's banking on the fact that the trajectory is on a downward path, combined with the fact that vaccinations are becoming more widespread, that he's just kind of timing it right. Right. Like he's timing this just right so that vaccinations are starting to spread out and nothing really bad is going to happen.
Right.
And I really hope for all the Texans that could potentially be harmed by this that he's right.
I really don't think
he's going to be.
No, I don't think he is either.
And the thing is, like, the argument is, well, we need to get the economy moving in Texas. You know, we were on our asses for 2 weeks because of this weather and this, that, or the other thing. And I think that's probably a factor in it as well. I'm sure the fact that the state was basically shut down for 10 days, certainly factoring into that as well. But this is people's lives you're fucking with, man. Like you're playing you're playing Russian roulette with a gun that's got like half the bullets in the chamber.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, and I don't feel like that's a smart idea.
It is not. It really, really fucking isn't. So what an idiot. Last but certainly not least, I just put this on. This will just be a quick one.
You say last but not least, but I definitely feel like it's
least. You know what? You're right. Last but least. Last and also least. Brad, it's March 2nd.
Yep.
Biden administration has been around for 30 some odd days, like 37 days or something.
It's actually like 40.
Is it made it 40?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
How sad are you? Mm-hmm. That this all comes crumbling down in 2 days when the real inauguration happens on March 4th. There's no gold fringe on the flag, Brad. The U.S. company has been sold or dissolved or whatever.
U.S. company.
And Brad, the fact that you don't understand really just shows your ignorance. Where one we go all, or where one go we go all? Is that what it is?
I believe it's where we go one, we go
all. Oh yes,
I think is how they say it. But don't they abbreviate it? Don't they like? Isn't it like an acronym?
Yeah, it's.
But the one is like the number one and not an.
Yeah, other. It's a one. It's like waggle waggle one, like whatever it is.
I've been partaking in some really sad articles lately of stories from like younger adults whose like parents are gripped by the fucking Q wave. It's really sad.
Yeah.
I've talked about my in-laws on the show before, how they're staunch Republicans and really frustrating to talk to. I'm really thankful that they have not crossed that Rubicon.
The Cubicon.
They'll dabble in Fox News bullshit, but they right. haven't gone, they haven't crossed into worse territory, which is thankful.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if my dad has. I wouldn't know. I haven't talked to him in like 3 years.
Oh, wow. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, who knows where he's at there. It's really fucking tragic, man.
It is.
It's really fucking tragic. Yeah. And it's all, you know what else is tragic? Like, it's never fun when you realize that you're smarter than your parents are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there comes to be like a realization that, you know, like, wow, this person that raised me and made me the person I am is actually a fucking moron. That would be a really tough.
How did you even accomplish this? I'm amazing. God, Brad, you're so
smart. That would be a really difficult pill to swallow. I'd have trouble swallowing that pill if I was forced to ever have to do that. So I feel for these people, for these young adults, and I feel for their parents, kind of. Like
I feel for their parents because they've been duped into a cult, and it's gonna take deprogramming, and it's sad. Mm-hmm. I think after March 4th, you're going to see a lot of them, not like a massive defection, but you're going to see some of them go, all right. Like,
yeah, it's not like this is the first time that something major that's been promised, like,
oh, of course,
ends up in nothing. Like, they're just going to move on to the next fucking story. You know what I mean? The next conspiracy, the next grand plan.
So I guess, are we having another inauguration in like April or are we just worried about 2024, right? When Trump.
I don't know. They'll go back and like find, well, like on this day back in 1837, Andrew Jackson did this thing. And that means that, you know, because Jackson starts with the letter J, that corresponds somehow to this, you know, J is the 10th letter of the alphabet. So it corresponds to the 10 that's, you know, in May. And then if you divide 10 by two, then you get 5, and May is the 5th month. So on May 10th, you're going to see, Biden's going to cry in office, and we're going to call that the Q Trail of Tears, and that's somehow going to signify like you could just literally just like
Brad, you're a little too good at this. You're a little too good.
That was stream of consciousness. Like, it's not hard to fucking come up with something that is just insane nonsense that these people will latch onto to live in whatever reality they need to live.
I think what I've learned today is Brad is in fact Q, like, which I've long suspected.
I've got this room of actual monkeys that are typing the next novel, and they're just coming up with crazy conspiracy theories.
Well, you knew the statement. You knew the where we go. Was it where we go all? What is it?
I feel like you're messing it up.
No, I'm really not. It's dumb. It's a dumb line. Where one of us go? So
I believe, like I said, I believe it's where we go one.
Where we go one.
We go all.
But what does that mean? Where? I don't understand. What does that even mean? I know it's from a movie.
I think it's a combination of trying to riff off of Michelle Obama, and also the Three Musketeers, because of course Alexandre Dumas was the first, was the original Q, back in the 1800s. As everyone knows.
Yes.
Come on. What do you think the Count of Monte Cristo is about? Originally, Cristo was spelled with a Q, but they had to change it to avoid suspicion.
Oh my God.
Back in the
Yes, of course they did.
Yeah, it's God damn it.
I can come up with batshit Q theories.
Yeah, no, you gotta, yeah. How convenient, Brad. How convenient. Yeah. That's what one person doesn't realize, or that's what many people don't realize, is Brad is Q, and he's been he writes these fucking Q ideas up.
That's right. Trump's going to get back in office, Jay, and he's going to have a 10-year term. Do you know why? Because Q predicted it, and Q is worth 10 points in Scrabble. So therefore, it's infallible logic. You can't.
It's a type of logic. Yeah,
you can't beat it down.
So apparently, it's from a movie called White Squall. It's from a disaster survival film by Ridley Scott. I've never seen it. Apparently, I don't think it's very good. Yeah, it's got a 58% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is interesting. 58% out of 36 reviews. I'm sure you could do something with those numbers if you were an idiot. Yeah. But yeah, that's where that line comes from. Wagga wagga or whatever it is.
It would it makes sense that a stupid slogan for this stupid fucking cult came from a movie that whose budget was $38 million and only grossed $10.2 million domestically in 1996.
Absolutely. I'm gonna watch that movie. I wanna see if I can figure out what Q is. Yeah, WWG1WGA. I'm gonna get that as a tattoo. That seems like a good idea. I don't know, man. Gotta be pretty dumb. But ooh, look, you can buy all this Q shit on Amazon. I thought they banned that. I thought that was a thing.
No, Jeff Bezos needs that Q money. That Warren wealth tax is making its way to Congress. So
yeah, he ain't got nothing to worry about. Joe Manchin ain't voting for that shit. Get out of here. God. Yeah, I watched an interview with her and I'm like, oh, you could have been president. You would have been so good. You'd have been so good. We need you, Liz. Yeah, you can buy a hashtag Save the Children notebook or car decal, which I saw someone doing construction work near my house with that on their truck. And I was like, oh, that person's a fucking moron. Cool. Now I know. No, I don't want you to come to my house. Leave me alone. And you're probably a pedophile yourself. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. I don't really have anything else, but any bold predictions for next week, Brad?
Not next week, Jay, but certainly on June 30th, we are going to see the rise of Donald Trump Jr., who is actually will have been possessed by his father, who will have been moved into some kind of a stasis field. Of course, 6:30, if you divide 30 by 6, you get 5. Donald Trump Jr. born in May. This all makes sense to me in my batshit crazy land. So Trump Jr. will come to us speaking through his father. And
I like it. Yeah. Brad will be donning a Guy Fawkes mask during the next recording. Not realizing the irony of wearing a religious zealot's mask. I love when people wear that. They're like, yeah, I'm fighting against the system. That guy was trying to get a theocracy going, man. Like, what are you talking about?
Jay, I don't remember him getting a theocracy going in V for Vendetta.
Yes,
of course, the historical account of the Guy Fawkes Revolution.
No, people are so ridiculous. Like, yo, that's a movie, yo. Like, Guy Fawkes is a real person. He was a religious lunatic. Yeah, look at his mask. I'm like, that's not cool. Don't support that guy. Yeah, we're all atheists. We need to take down the system. Why are you wearing a Guy Fawkes mask? Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yet I get banned on Twitter for 12 hours for telling someone to go fuck themselves.
Join us next week on the Foxcast where we... Fox.
Holy shit. Yep. You know what? There it is. I was gonna name the episode Crossing the Cubicon, but I'm okay with the Guy Fawkes mask one. All right, that's it for us. We'll see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.